President Donald Trump is not the biggest fan of Amazon, the company, or of its founder, Jeff Bezos. And a couple of weeks ago at a press conference, the president said this about Amazon's relationship with the U.S. Postal Service.
You take a look at the post office, and the post office is losing billions of dollars, and the taxpayers are paying for that money because it delivers packages for Amazon at a very below cost. And that's not fair to the United States. It's not fair to our taxpayers.
Amazon is a customer of the Postal Service, which delivers a lot of Amazon's packages. And what President Trump argued was that the Postal Service should be charging Amazon more money to deliver those packages. And Trump even had a very specific amount in mind.
And a report just came out. They said $1.47, I believe, or about that, for every time they deliver a package, the United States government, meaning the post office, loses $1.47.
$1.47.
Not $1.46.
No.
Not $1.48. $1.47.
$1.47, that is today's Planet Money indicator. It's how much the president says the post office is losing every time it delivers a package for Amazon. Just one problem. It's totally wrong.
Totally wrong. Terrible.
Shocking.
It's a wrong indicator.
So where did the number come from? And what is the truth about Amazon's deal with the Postal Service? I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. This is The Indicator, where every day we tell you a short story about the economy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Slack. Slack is a collaboration hub that lets you organize your team's work into channels where everyone is included, relevant information is in one place, and new team members can easily get up to speed. Learn more at slack.com.
I'm Josh Barrow. I'm a senior editor at Business Insider. I'm also the host of KCRW's Left, Right, and Center podcast.
Josh is the journalist who identified the exact problem with President Trump's assertion that the post office loses $1.47 each time it delivers a package for Amazon. And then Josh brought the problem to our attention. So to get one simple thing out of the way, where did President Trump get that number?
It's clear that what he's referencing is an equity research note that came from Citigroup last April called the free shipping tax. And their note was echoing an argument that's been coming from UPS, which obviously is a major competitor to the Postal Service in package delivery, which has been saying that package prices from the Postal Service are too low and that they should have to use a new formula to set those prices. And Citi, in its estimates, said that if those recommendations were followed, that would cause package prices at the post office to go up by an average of about $1.50.
But the $1.47 figure does not actually refer to how much the Postal Service is undercharging Amazon. The note refers to the average amount that the Postal Service charges all of the customers that use the Postal Service for delivering packages. Amazon is only one of those customers.
We don't actually know what the Postal Service charges Amazon. Only the Postal Service and Amazon know for sure. It is not public information.
So President Trump misread the note. But the much bigger problem, Josh says, is that the Citigroup note includes a huge factual mistake. And to understand that mistake, though, first we need to understand how the U.S. Postal Service actually works. And by the way, this is surprisingly fascinating, at least to us.
I think it's objectively fascinating.
To everybody.
To everybody.
Yes.
All people will think this is fascinating.
So stick around.
Hold on to your hat. So you can think of the Postal Service as having two different businesses. The first business is what most of us probably think of when we think of the Postal Service.
Yeah, and this business is called the market dominant business, and that is just a horrible
terrible
name. So forget
terrible
it. We are just going to here call it the normal mail business.
Much so better name.
Yeah, and it's what you might use to send letters, first class mail, holiday cards or wedding invitations, or to get junk mail from companies, everybody's favorite.
Yes.
And generally, this is just the kind of mail that requires stamps. Josh says this business comes with quite a few strings attached.
These are things where the post office has a legal monopoly. Nobody else is allowed to open a competing business that delivers first-class mail. And where the post office also has various legal obligations about who it has to deliver to. It has to deliver, in most cases, 6 days a week. It has to do that whether or not it's profitable. It also has to charge the same price for first-class mail, no matter how far you're sending a letter in the country.
The Postal Service still earns the majority of its revenues delivering this kind of mail. But the business has been in decline for years because of competition from things like email and social media.
The Postal Service's second business is called competitive products, and this is the business that deals with Amazon. We also don't need to change the name because it's easy to remember, because competitive products, that business, is the part of the Postal Service that competes with other carriers of bigger packages like UPS and FedEx. This part of the Postal Service, the competitive products business, is supposed to act like a private company. It's supposed to try to at least break even and hopefully make money, and it can negotiate with its biggest customers.
And the relationship with Amazon is one of the reasons that the competitive products business has been growing in recent years, with revenues climbing almost 12% last year.
And now we get to the controversy. The Postal Service overall loses money each year. And like any organization, it has sources of revenue, and it also costs money to run. And to understand whether the competitive products business loses money, we have to know how the Postal Service allocates its costs between the packages business and the normal mail business.
And this is complicated because so many parts of the Postal Service are used for both of the businesses, the drivers, the buildings, the trucks.
If you've got a truck that's already coming to your house to deliver like junk mail and letters from your family and things like that, it doesn't seem like it would cost too much more to throw in something you also ordered from Amazon, right? Maybe you need a little bit more space in a truck, so you need a bigger truck. But for the most part, it seems like it's just along for the ride.
Or maybe you don't need a bigger truck because first-class mail volumes have fallen immensely over the last 15 years. So this is a thing with the post office. It has more real estate than it needs, in a lot of cases more employees than it needs. And so if it were a private company, you'd say, well, you'd sell off the real estate, lay off employees, shrink the business if you weren't going to have them start delivering packages. But politically, that's not necessarily an option for the post office. It still has to send that truck to your house 6 days a week. And if the truck's only half full, it can't decide I'm only going to deliver 3 days a week with twice as much stuff in the truck. If it tries to close post offices, you get a lot of outcry in Congress over that sort of thing.
What Josh is saying here is that the added costs of delivering packages are not that high, given that so many of those packages will be delivered to places that the Postal Service was already legally obligated to visit for its normal mail business.
The packages business charges its customers, like Amazon, more than enough to cover those added costs.
But the packages business also has to charge its customers enough to cover some of the costs that it shares with the normal mail business. Things like those driver salaries or use of the trucks or the buildings that they run out of. In fact, the packages business has to follow a rule that it will cover a minimum amount of these bigger institutional costs.
And here's where we get back to the Citigroup note. Remember that the note argued that the packages business should charge its customers $1.47 more per package? Here is how it arrived at that number. The note first estimated how much of these bigger institutional costs the packages business should have to cover based on how big the packages business was.
And then the note assumed that the packages business was only charging the minimum required amount.
And this was just wrong.
So wrong.
So wrong. When the actual numbers came out, it turned out that the Postal Service was charging way more than the minimum. In fact, it was charging almost enough to cover the share of the institutional costs that Citigroup thought it should cover.
So the note just had this massive factual error in how it calculated the number that Donald Trump then publicly used. And by the way, one of the authors of the note did admit the error to Josh.
And there's a reason that this error is important. Josh says that the Postal Service's overall losses would have been bigger if not for the growth of the competitive products business.
I mean, the reason that it was generating more revenue that could go toward the institutional cost of the post office was that package volumes had been growing at about 15% a year. So not only were they maintaining the margin that they were making on each thing that they were delivering, they were just delivering more packages. And so they were able to generate more revenue toward their overall institutional costs by acting like a business and growing.
In other words, the Postal Service's overall losses almost certainly would have been bigger if not for the success of the competitive products business, the business that deals with Amazon. And that number that President Trump has been throwing around is based on a mistake. If you want to know more, we are linking to Josh's piece at npr.org/money, along with a couple of other reports on the Postal Service's financial situation. We did reach out to Citigroup, and they sent us their recent updates to the research note, and we will link to those updates as well if they are made publicly available.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Slack. Slack is a collaboration hub for work that makes sure the right people in your team are always in the loop and key information is always at their fingertips. Learn more at slack.com.
I'm Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air, with some recent interviews to recommend. Madeleine Albright's Warning About Fascism, How Rodgers and Hammerstein Revolutionized Broadway, and America's Eviction Crisis. Find Fresh Air wherever you found this podcast.